Welcome back to another episode of the Catholic Buzz Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Father Daniele, and I'm joined by Josh Sullivan.
Hello.
Josh, welcome.
Thank you.
And Matt Van Milligan. Matthew, welcome.
Hi.
Yeah, and okay, you guys know this because you're at Mass every Sunday.
Yep.
And I guess I've never asked you what you think of this, but some people have expressed that they don't particularly care for my pre-communion announcement that I make. And I balance that with lots of people have thanked me for it because people who don't know what to do. They come into our building for the first time, or you know, they don't know what to do when it's time to receive the Eucharist, and so they say thank you for giving a direction. Like I didn't know what to do. Anyways, a few say that they don't care for it. So basically, for those who don't know what I'm talking about,
what do you say?
Just before we're about to receive the Eucharist, I always say something along the lines of, during the sacred time when we're about to receive the Eucharist, I invite those who are Catholic and prepared to receive the Eucharist in the proper state of grace to receive either in the hands or on the tongue. And then I say, if you're receiving on the hands, you have to consume the Eucharist immediately before walking away. And then I say, if you are here today and you're not Catholic, or you are Catholic, you've been absent from Mass, or the challenges or difficulties of life have prevented us from receiving the Eucharist today, please come forward for a blessing instead. Just indicate this by crossing your arms over your chest. We'll gladly give you a blessing. So that's what I say before it's Eucharist time. Now, just right off the bat, it's becoming commonplace in Catholic churches to give some sort of instruction before the Eucharist. I know I was at a funeral at another church. The pastor there had made a very similar announcement before the Eucharist. I know the bishop was visiting, and the bishop made a very similar announcement when he was presiding. It's becoming very commonplace. And just to add, it's not just because I say it, but I think it's necessary because everywhere else you go, you follow instruction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You go to the airport, you're following arrows, you're getting in line. You know, they say, take your shoes off, take your this, whatever, you're following instruction. You go to whatever, schools, you got to sign in. You go to the hospital, you got to wear a mask or whatever. You go, come to the Catholic Church, not everyone knows exactly what to do.
And you follow, not only do you follow instruction, but you also follow what everybody else is doing. I mean, there's common knowledge. I mean, impractical jokers or whatever it is. Like, there's a lot of these prank shows that go on where you're like sitting in a waiting room and everyone starts doing the same thing. You know, whether it be fold their leg and then tap their head three times. And then when they call their name, they fold their leg and tap their head three times or something along those lines. And then they want to see, we've done it, like six people in a row have done it. They're all plants. They're all part of the joke. But then they call the one person who's not part of it just to see. And sure enough, they fold their leg, they tap their head three times, and they answer, here I am. It's human nature for us to sometimes just follow the crowd and do what, because, I mean, if the crowd starts running one way, that's normally going to save us. You know what I mean? So, like, it's been instilled in us. So when we come to places, that's kind of, like, that's part of who we are, and going against the flow is different. So I think it's important so that people understand, oh, this is not just for anybody. This is not a everybody's welcome type of scenario. Not in the, let's clarify that. Not that everyone can receive the Eucharist. Everyone is welcome to come up for a blessing, as you said, or to be part of this communion and be a communion as a church, but not receive the Eucharist. Because receiving the Eucharist has very strict guidelines. Talking about like even having, have you received your first communion? Because I know a lot of people have. I remember that there have been situations and where people aren't even Catholic and they're not, and they're still receiving the Eucharist. Or you know, like whoa, you're not Catholic. You shouldn't be receiving. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's commonplace. You hear those announcements at weddings or funerals, because you have a lot of people who aren't Catholic. But I think it's okay to say that on Sunday now. And I do think we have a responsibility of sharing that message because I think we as Catholics have to renew our respect and reverence for Jesus in the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. Like, that is the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith. And if we don't show, if we're not showing respect to the Eucharist ourselves, then everything else that we do as a church doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to answer your initial question of just like, you know, do you, like, I count myself in the group of people that appreciates that you
yeah,
say
myself
that.
As well.
Well,
and
thanks,
even,
Matt.
And like instinctively, you want to say something like, well, it's a shame that we have to say something like that, or that, you know, there was a time in the church's history where you didn't need to say that and everyone knew that. I don't entirely know that that's the case, because again, just myself coming into the church in the early days, I had no idea what to do. Yeah. And, you know, I was one of the ones who just kind of sat in the back and watched before I started emulating, before I started, you know,
yeah.
You know, standing when you stand and kneel when you kneel. So, you know, I was maybe protected from that. Because, again, the priority is preserving the integrity of the Eucharist. You know, and you know, some of the pushback you get is probably people feel judged, or people feel whatever. Like, no, the goal here is not to, you know, single anybody out. No. And I think you succeed in that by just kind of generally making the comment. You're not saying, okay, you shouldn't come up and you shouldn't come. Like, there's none of that. It really is just kind of a general. If you understand what we're partaking of, this should be our attitude. And again, me coming into the church in the early days, I would have really appreciated that. I can also relate a situation that was, you know, as I came to understand more and more about, you know, what the Eucharist is, became kind of more and more kind of tragic in my mind. So when I was in university, my graduating year, in my graduating class, there was a tradition where, you know, we attended a baccalaureate mass. So the bishop presided over a mass, assuming kind of good faith, he just expected everybody to know this, or everybody to. Yeah. So when it came time for communion, almost our entire graduating class went up to receive. And, you know, in a small kind of community, I was aware that not many of them were, you know, practicing Catholics. Some of them probably not even baptized, not even receiving their first sacrament. So again, just really inappropriate for them to be receiving the Eucharist. And just like, we understand this as the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. So, you know, witnessing this, you know, and having, being in a situation where that type of instruction would have gone a long way to preserve the integrity of the Eucharist, you can kind of see the consequence of when that kind of announcement or that kind of instruction isn't given.
There's two things, too, that you kind of, one of the things that we talk about, too, is making our Catholic Church more welcoming. I mean, that's one of the things that when you look at rebuilding our Catholic Church stuff, rebuilt or divine renovation and those things, they talk about making the Mass specifically a welcoming place. Well, one of the easiest ways to make it welcoming, in my mind anyways, is clear direction. So when they don't have to guess that they have to stand or sit. And so one of the things that we do at our church is, because I'm in charge of the music and specifically this slideshow that's going on behind to do all the music slides and stuff, but we give a lot of the responses on the slides. And so, and when Father has noticed, because I'm up in the choir loft, I don't notice as much, but like if there's specifically something that I don't have on the slideshow or I forget to play it, you have people looking up there and then kind of looking around like, what are they saying? What do I do now? Because they're expecting the direction to come from there, especially if they're new. And so having that clear direction, like even if it was just simply, I was thinking just recently, so this will be something we could discuss off air, but like something as simple as when people all, for the gospel, you know, glory to you, O Lord, and you bless your hand. I saw somebody while we were doing that looking around and seeing everyone do that, and they just kind of put their hand to their head, their mouth, and their chest. They had no idea what we were doing. And I was like, oh, well, that might be something that I could put on the board that just says, glory to you, O Lord. Blessing over your forehead, like just in brackets or whatever else, to instruct them, oh, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing this. You know what I mean? But that clear instruction helps with that guidance. The other thing is when I see people not receive the Eucharist for whatever reason, in my mind anyways, it's not a judgment. In fact, especially if they're coming every Sunday, I'm actually happy. I'm like, wow, good for you. That I do think it takes courage to do that in today's age, especially, you know, but like for whatever reason, and I'm not judging the reason because I don't know what the reason is, but the fact that you decided not to receive communion today, that stands to me how strong your faith actually is. Specifically, that you aren't going to desecrate the sacrament of the Eucharist. Does that make sense? So let's
I'm smiling, but as you were saying that, I was reminded of like when you see a generally kind of out of shape or unhealthy person jogging in the morning. It's like you could have your instinct could be to be like, oh, that person. No, good for them.
Yeah, you know, like exactly they're, the same kind of thing. Yeah. Oh, good for you getting in shape like that. Yeah. Good for you doing that kind of thing. Yeah. That's you're right. That's exactly the right attitude. Yeah. That's the attitude I have, where I feel when I see if I even notice that, because that's something. The last thing is that I didn't realize the bishop had talked about this in one of our Q&A sessions we had at a parish mission just recently. Was the reason for fasting, or one of the reasons? I'm not going to say the only reason, but one of the reasons for fasting before communion was to give people an excuse outside of I'm a sinner to not receive I didn't fast. I had a coffee before I came, or whatever the case may be. And so that was one of the things that, like, one of the reasons why the fast was in place was to, so that in communion with each other, they could say, give them an excuse of why they might not receive communion. So you didn't automatically suspect, oh, they're a sinner. It's that they had a coffee before they came, or they didn't fast from breakfast, if that makes sense. And now the fasting is only an hour before Mass, but it's still the same truth to the fast holds. You know, it gives you an out if you, oh, I didn't fast before, you know?
So, yeah, and I want to be clear too, like, so what's the big deal? So in my little announcement, we talk about the state of grace.
Yes.
So the state of grace is when we are in full communion with the Lord, right? That we have no sin on our, no mortal sin on our conscience. We're in the state of grace. Let's remember that venial sin, so less serious sin, is forgiven during the penitential rite at the beginning of Mass and by receiving the Eucharist as well, right? The serious sin requires going to the sacrament of confession. The Church does say in Catechism 2181 that those who deliberately fail in their obligation to attend Mass on Sunday, unless it's for a serious reason, commit a grave sin. So for those people who don't attend Mass regularly, for no good reason, then they're not to approach to receive the Eucharist unless they have rectified their situation through the sacrament of confession.
Now, what is it, what is a good enough reason, I guess, is the question. So if I'm working, is that a good enough reason?
No. A serious reason would be an illness. You're taking care of a child or someone in need. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're caring for a senior who needs help. If you're just covering a shift, like a Sunday morning, where you could have moved that shift, that's not a really serious reason. If you are working in hospital, nursing, doctors, obviously,
different
from emergency personnel, those are different
scenarios.
Yeah. Also, let's say you are on your way to church and you get in a car accident.
Yeah.
You know, you're not, that's a pretty serious reason. Or let's say you blow a tire. It's not even an accident. Mm-hmm. Or you've attempted to come down the street and there's ice all over the place and, you know, whatever it might be. Like those reasons. Now, if you're just sitting at home and you're like, oh, looking at the clock. Ah,
Daylight savings time is too early.
I have a bagel in the toaster and the coffee's brewing. You know what? I'm just going to watch it online. You know, like that's not a reason to miss Mass. And I want people to understand that. And it's not the Church being mean, okay? Because the Sunday Eucharist is the foundation of our Christian practice. Like there's nothing more important than the Sunday Eucharist. Sunday is the day of the resurrection, the day we celebrate the Lord's resurrection to new life, the day we celebrate our resurrection to new life. Like we are brought to new life with Jesus Christ. And that celebration of the Eucharist has a principal obligation over anything else we do, right?
I think one of the things you mentioned too about not sitting at home and watching, because so if you think about it, you need spiritual food. And like our physical bodies need, we need spiritual food. And you can get that through, I mean, we get that through the weekly mass. You get that through listening to the liturgy of the word, where we listen to the readings and the homily, the psalm, all that kind of stuff. But you also get that through the liturgy of the Eucharist and being present. Here, the church feels that this is so important to be present that, and taping just doesn't work. I mean, it's a substitute for things like COVID and that kind of stuff, but it's not a substitute forever or a general substitute, let's say, to the fact point that, like, if you don't have music, live music ministers, you can't just play a tape. That's not allowed in music at Mass. It has to be live, because there's something about being present, being there, participating fully inside. And so if they didn't care about that, then yeah, you could, like, yeah, let's put on, like, everybody's going to sing now, let's put on the tape, you know what I mean? Or then you can stay at home and just watch it from TV. You know what I mean? But there's something about being there, participating in the community, sacrificing and getting to the church, but specifically to receive and to feed yourself. That's so important in the church, you know? It thinks that's important that you're there in person, you know?
And this is the idea. It's that God has commanded that we worship this way. Remember, the Sunday Eucharist is about us giving up our time to come and worship the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. It's not about, you know, because some people say, well, I don't get much out of it. It's boring, whatever. Well, you know,
it's not about entertainment. Eucharist
is, and it's not about us. It's not about, you know, our experience. It's about us coming with everything we have to worship God, because he's asked us to do it that way. He could have asked us to worship him in many other different ways, but he said, I want you at Mass on the day of the resurrection, right? This is what's expected of us. He didn't say, you can pray at home on Sunday morning instead, or, you know, please, by all means, worship online or whatever. No, he wants us to be in his house celebrating the Eucharist in the presence of the sacrifice. That's what happens at the altar. The sacrifice of the cross is re-presented in the Eucharist, and the Lord wants us there. So we talked about a proper state of grace. I just want to talk about, like, yes. I also say, you know, people who are, so that's absent from Mass, the difficulties and challenges of life. There are, like, the Lord knows that we are human, that we are sinful. You know, God has come to call sinners. It's right there in our penitential rite. And we make mistakes and we sin. And that's, God knows that, right? That doesn't mean that we can just receive, we can just come and do what we want when we want. I always say to people, like, if we're man enough to sin, we should be man enough to ask for mercy, right? And or to deal with the consequences as well. So if we sin, then there are consequences to that. And I'm not saying that to be rude. I'm just like, you know, like, it, God understands that we are sinners. Mm-hmm. He's not encouraging us to sin, but he understands that we are sinners. But coming to Mass is still that time where we come to worship with him, worship him. Even with our faults, even with our difficulties, even with our sin, we come and we worship the Lord. We recognize that we need God. That's why we're there on Sunday. But it does also mean that we're not in the proper place or space to receive the Eucharistic Lord, right? There's an extra step there that we have to rectify before we receive the Eucharist. But we come, there's nothing barring us from worship. There's nothing barring us from singing, from responding, from being in God's presence, from being in community. But it doesn't mean that we can just go and receive the Eucharist. Yeah. And that's the struggles of life. We all have them. The challenges of life, we all have them.
Yeah, and when we're talking about kind of the grace to overcome the struggles of life, like, it actually requires a measure of grace. Again, this is something that coming from a Protestant background to, you know, becoming Catholic, understanding the operation of grace, that, like, you respond to grace in stages, in increments, as a process, that it's not just kind of this binary, you know, no grace, all grace. that it's like, if you recognize there's like the struggles of life are preventing me from worthily receiving the Eucharist. Okay, fair enough. It was like, if I approach for a blessing, there is real grace present in that blessing. That there's real grace present in attending the Mass. Like the Mass itself isn't just, you know, devoid of significance, you know, with if you're not receiving the Eucharist. Again, your obligation is to attend Mass, not to receive the Eucharist. So, you know, there is, you know, a measure of grace that you receive from a blessing, from the Mass itself, that might be, you know, the spiritual strength you need to go to confession, to, you know, bring you to that state where you actually recognize, you're like, no, I don't want to, and, you know, I recognize that I am sinful. That's step one. But step two is like, what am I going to do about this? You know, this isn't the end, or like, this isn't kind of the last word. You know, I can go to confession. I can be restored to communion with the church. And then, you know, that can be the pretext for worthily receiving the Eucharist. Yeah,
exactly. And I think we have to remember too, like, and perhaps maybe people just don't know. I mean, studies show that people don't know what the Eucharist, a lot of people don't know what the Eucharist is. You know, we believe that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Like the same Jesus Christ who died on the cross, the same Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. We believe that that is his body. So if we truly believe that that is his body, then we should at least have enough respect or reverence to receive it like it's his body in the proper state of grace. If it's just a piece of bread, by all means, come and get it. Like, no rules. Anyone can come. You don't have to be Catholic. It's just bread. You know, there's no, we don't even have to respectfully hand it out. We can toss it through the crowd if we want to.
Or just pat. Everybody get like, kind of like the offering plate, but you just go backwards. You know what I mean? Everyone just take a piece of bread.
Just take a piece.
And pass along.
You know, if it's just bread, holy bread, then by all means, everyone come and receive it. But it's not, it is the body of Jesus Christ. And that's why we have some prerequisites before we receive the Eucharist.
It's also why a lot of times you'll see most churches, not all churches, but most churches offer confession on Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's the day before you go to Mass a lot of times, and normally it's before your Mass on Saturday night if there is one or whatever the case may be. And so priests offer confession at that time. And the other thing that people have to realize is confession is a gift that's offered, like it's a sacrament that you can do daily if you had to, but specifically, hopefully not, but that you can ask a priest at any time. Now, going up while he's about to start Mass is not the proper time to ask a priest. But if you're thinking about it, oh, I'm going to Mass, and now I'm thinking about the state of my soul, I'm thinking about the sin that I'm in, oh, I'm going to have to ask for a blessing again. If that's kind of like, but you're taking it seriously then, now you're going to go, okay, I'm going to get there on Saturday. I'm going to stop into the church real quick and go to confession when the confession time's on. You know, get in the line. Confessions aren't meant to be a long thing. Confession's not supposed to be 10, 20, 15, 20, 30 minutes. It's supposed to be a drop in, dump the sins, get out. You know, kind of like it's, you know, it's that's what it's for. And so understanding that, and we've done many shows on confession already, but that's what you need to do. That's why it's offered. So if you have to, if you're thinking about it, then make an appointment with the priest so that you can go to confession. Now, so we're talking about sins, and one of the things I want to think about is you've mentioned the proper state, like your struggles of life. What about people that maybe can't just go to confession to get rid of the struggle of life, whatever that might be? What if they're living, and we talked many times about a different kind of relationship, whether it be maybe a homosexual relationship or whether it be in a remarried scenario where they have kids involved and everything else. It's not so, like, coming back to your faith, it's not so simple as just walking away and or going to confession every Saturday so that you can receive the Eucharist. That's not going to happen. So what do people in those scenarios type?
Well, there's a remedy to all of those things.
Yeah.
Right? And you're right. There are some situations that people are more persistent in not being able to receive the Eucharist that maybe a quick confession wouldn't fix, right? Like, for example, you brought up the example of someone who's divorced and remarried. Mm. You know, so someone who's divorced, that's not the issue. The issue is divorced and remarried without first taking care of the first marriage. We have a whole episode on this.
Annulments.
Some of our episodes here. So that is the issue. So there are remedies to that. Mm-hmm. I myself have helped so many parishioners overcome that obstacle. They've received annulments for their previous marriage, and are now in a state where they can receive the Eucharist. And what I must say is, it's just such a joy to see people who are serious, who refrain from the Eucharist for such a long period of time. Because sometimes an annulment case takes 2 months. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes 6 months. Sometimes it takes a year, depending on the complications involved in the actual case. And to see that they're faithful from refraining from the Eucharist, and the joy when they finally receive the Eucharist, right? You mentioned someone who's in a homosexual relationship, right?
Yeah, same
way. So again, anyone who is in a sexual relationship outside of marriage, heterosexual, homosexual, if we're engaging in sex or sexual activity outside of marriage, that has to be confessed before receiving the Eucharist, right? And people have to be in the proper state to receive the Eucharist. So that goes for anyone outside of marriage, right? So that is something that could be could be corrected with confession, and people can abstain. It's not impossible to abstain
from sex, right?
Yeah. Whereas divorce and remarriage there's a process to rectify that issue.
Because it's also dealing with the sacrament of marriage.
Yeah.
On top of, okay.
I think it really reinforces what we were saying from the beginning, because the common or the ordinary way is confession. But again, where you have these situations where it's circumstantial, there's no quick fix. I think it speaks to the person's recognition of the integrity of the Eucharist, that they refrain from, in some cases, long periods of time, in some cases, years. And again, I think about, our RCI candidates, in a long time ago, hundreds of years ago, the process for entering the church was often years long, that it wasn't just, you're journeying for 5 or 6 months, or in some parishes, a few weeks before Easter, then you have full admittance to the sacraments. But that idea that you're taking this seriously enough to wait, to kind of go through the proper process, because being full communion with the church is a testament to you recognizing the integrity of the person of Jesus being present in the Eucharist.
And that's what I want to mention. All this, we're talking about when not to receive the Eucharist, but the church wants us to receive the Eucharist. The church wants us to receive the Eucharist. I know in Catechism 1388, in keeping with the very meaning of the Eucharist of the faithful, if they've required the proper state and dispositions, they should receive the communion. They should receive communion when they participate in Mass. Yeah. Right, so the church wants us to receive the Eucharist weekly and daily, if possible. Right, like we in the Our Father, we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Jesus is our daily bread, so it's not saying that we don't want people receiving the Eucharist. We're not saying that we're being mean to certain people or whatever it might be. What we're doing is we're trying to encourage people to live in a holy way of life. Sin or not, we want to encourage holiness, and moving towards grace and moving towards holiness is respecting the Eucharist enough that when you're not in the proper state to receive the Eucharist, you refrain. That is such a holy act. That is such a grace-filled act to refrain. It is actually sacrilege. It's another sin to receive the Eucharist when not in the proper state, or when we're not to receive the Eucharist.
I think about it, two wrongs don't make a right is kind of what I was thinking when you said that. But that's if imagine sitting there, because one of the reasons, like the only thing that crosses my mind if I was to put myself in that position of sitting there and going through, okay, should I receive or should I not receive? Well, if you're asking yourself that question already, then there's maybe something that you got to really seriously take to consideration. But like it wasn't a common practice to receive every week for every single person. This has kind of been part of our consumerism in the West that we just like, I deserve to be there because I showed up to Mass, so give me my communion so I can bug out of here. Like, that seems to be the thing. Whereas in, like, no, it's very possible that you might not go. Like, you might go to Mass every single week for a couple of months at a time and not receive because you didn't get the chance to go to confession or whatever the case may be, and then receive, you know, you are required to receive the Eucharist once a year, correct? Is that like on Easter, I think it was, or
in the Easter season?
In the Easter season. And so, like, that's the only requirement to receive the Eucharist, meaning the church understands that you might be a pretty good sinner for the rest of the year, that you cannot, but, like, you've got to make an extra special effort during Lent, perhaps, or whatever
else. Exactly, that's the whole thing. Yeah, right? Like, to experience confession during Lent, to receive the Eucharist in the Easter season. Exactly. Because, you know, one of the teaching came from, because people were just abstaining from the Eucharist. They're like, well, I'll never be in the proper state. I'm just going to accept the fact that I can't receive the Eucharist. And the church was like, no, you have to receive the Eucharist at least once per year. Remember, ideally, is weekly.
Yeah,
ideally
even is weekly. Daily.
But we know that life is not ideal. We know that life is not perfect. And the church understands that. Mm-hmm. We just want people to cooperate by respecting the Eucharist enough to sometimes we have to refrain from it. The other thing I want to mention is, you know, there are two things. One, yes, I make this announcement every time we celebrate Mass on Sunday. And, you know, our parishioners who are there all the time, maybe they're, oh, well, you're saying this again. But how do we communicate this to people? You know, there are people who just come to the church for funerals, just come to the church for a wedding, just come to the church or just go to Mass, like when I celebrate Mass at a school. You know, there are people at schools who just come forward to receive the Eucharist who don't go to church. Like, how do we start to communicate this? I know I do a similar message at funerals, weddings, in fact, the same message at funerals, weddings, and schools. But how do we really let people know that, like, this whole teaching around this? Because people will sit there, you know, people
hear
will sit
you
there
say
and
that.
Hear and yeah. say, you know, challenges of life, difficulties of life may have prevented you from receiving the Eucharist today. Maybe you've been absent from Mass, whatever, and they'll still come forward to receive the Eucharist. Yeah. You know, this it's like this, well, oh, he's not talking about me.
Yeah. He's talking about all the sinners.
You know what I mean? And I think it's really important to change the culture on this one.
Yeah.
That it is okay to not receive the Eucharist. Right. Matt, you said there's grace in that blessing. Yeah. You know, there's not... you know, obviously there's the fullness of grace in the Eucharist, but there's grace in receiving a blessing, but there's grace in being faithful to what the church says. And the church says that sometimes you shouldn't receive the Eucharist.
I was going to say too, the other thing too, if you put yourself in the place of why you wouldn't receive the Eucharist, one of the biggest reasons I would suggest is that I'm sitting there going, what are other people going to think of me?
And that was the second thing I was going to say, is we also have to change the culture over judgment.
Yeah.
You know, like when it's time to receive the Eucharist, receive the Eucharist and then go back to your pew and pray.
Exactly.
Don't be people watching. This is not a beach. This is not a town square. This is not a movie theater. We're not wondering what everyone else is up to. Go back to your pew and pray. We don't need to judge or think or look because I think it's such a beautiful thing when people in all integrity are refraining from receiving the Eucharist.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a beautiful thing. Over, like, what is the alternative? The alternative is I'm not ready to receive the Eucharist, and I'm going to lie to myself and lie to the Lord and receive the Eucharist anyways.
And create another bigger sin because of it. So, like, and one of the things I want to just point out is if you're going up to receive, then you're letting your pride win on this one.
Exactly.
And that's one of those things, like, we talk about money being the root of all evil, but pride is the root of all evil. Pride is what kind of made Adam and Eve and all that other stuff. Like, if you're talking about getting way back in there. We're not going to get into that today, but specifically, so your pride is the one that's pushing you forward because you care about what other people think more than what God thinks or more than the state of your own soul because you're putting yourself in more turmoil.
Just a few weeks ago, Pope Francis said, of all the vices, pride is the great queen.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I like it.
And so, yeah, I thought of that when you mentioned
that. I said that.
So, you know, we've talked about this today. I hope we brought a little more clarity to this situation. At the end of the day, we are going to revitalize our own faith, our own love for Jesus. We're gonna revitalize the church. We're gonna revitalize our culture if we start having love, respect, and reverence for the Eucharist first and foremost. Mm-hmm. It is the source and summit of our faith. It is everything that we point towards as Catholics, and everything that flows, everything flows from Jesus in the Eucharist too. So let's just encourage people. Let's not nag. You know, if someone comes with us to Christmas Mass, we don't have to say, hey, you better go to confession before you receive the Eucharist. But it is okay to say...
Just pass them a link to this podcast.
It's okay to say, before communion, Father makes this announcement, and here's what he means.
Yeah.
Right? That's okay. We don't have to judge, or we don't have to make things worse. We want people there, right? The Lord wants us there to worship. There's great grace there. Let's just do what the Lord says and be worthy receptacles of his body. That's all the time we got today. So if anyone wants to add any comments or send us a message also complain about my message before the Eucharist, you can drop us a line at askus@thecatholicbuzz.com. But for Josh Sullivan and Matt Van Milligan, my name is Father Daniele. We'll see you next time on The Catholic Buzz.